Welcome to the Amazing Data Podcast. Okay, so hello everybody. My name is Ksenia, and this is the brand new episode of our data-oriented podcast. And we have a new guest today. Hello, Renata. Good morning. Could you please tell us a few words about yourself?
Hi, sure. So I'm an enterprise analytics and a business consultant. What I basically do is kind of assess the analytical maturity of different organizations, recommend what next steps they should take to advance their data-driven decisions and the processes. Based on these analyses, design and implement specific analytical solutions to support their business decisions. And based on that, those analytical solutions, we have the data to recommend what actions to take to improve the whole organization.
That sounds so impressive and so complicated. How do you manage to do that? I mean, what are your first steps?
Well, so a start, what we usually do is, as part of the assessment, we see what technologies the company has, see what kind of data they usually have to understand what kind of maturity the analytics is in within an organization. And after that, it's more like what kind of reports they are consuming, what is their habit of analyzing the data. Usually every company has some kind of data that they collect. It can be like in an Excel spreadsheet, or it can be like a massive system that they input the data in, or like automated already, and they just get the data from their users, from their employees and everything.
I kind of have the feeling that both of those first steps have like a huge number of inner additional sub-steps, as an iceberg hides so much underneath.
Oh, absolutely. From project to project, usually there is always a business need. There is a problem that we want to solve.
Okay, so I start suspecting from the way you describe the whole approach is that conducting the enterprise analysis is actually the kind of situation when you have to always adapt to very specific needs and very specific situations. So there's no, you know, the magical tool set which you can apply through project to project, because everything sounds so different and so unique, you know, like this kind of project snowflake, that every time you enter new project and you hear new project's needs, you have to start all over. So there is no, you know, like unified way how to deal with this kind of problems.
Well, it depends on the organization and the culture itself. So if we are talking about a startup, they probably it depends on their management, how they want to run and start a startup. If they say, well, okay, we are a digital company, we start everything, like measuring everything what we do. In that case, in a year, in 2 years, they will have already everything measured in the architecture that they want. So they will thrive from that particular like advanced analytics already, and they will grow from there. If we are talking about a company which is like 100-year-old and management, like in the management, everybody is like 20 years, it's been 20 years that they are working at that particular company. It's way much different to implement a new solution to that particular culture. So it always depends on where we stand. And then right now we are living in a space and era where there is always a new company going into a niche to solve a particular business problem. So it's not always like I have a problem and I have to build my own solution. First, you have to like check, is it anything on the market that I can just use, plug in my data, and I will solve my problem, and I will pay for that particular third party to analyze my data and give me the analytics that I need.
So would you say that there are some particular and very specific things that might be postponing the data orientation for the enterprise and stop the analytics flow from going in its usual way. So something that stops you and prevents you from going in the expected pace and chasing the business needs the way you would want to. So there are some blockers which are too crucial to ignore.
Absolutely. I think one of the biggest challenge is adoption.
In what means?
In a way of how people within the organization adopt to using data, and that we create an analysis, we create a report. Are they prepared and are they ready to start using something automated, or people are more like expecting to somebody put the final report in their on their desk and kind of creating them a self-serve manual process where they want to do their analysis. It can be like cultural, it can be like a personal preference. And that adoption within the company can block everything. So we can create the best recommendation engine for everybody. If the users won't use it and the business won't open up that dashboard or report to make their own decisions based on the data, it was like all for nothing. And this is what I see the most, that people, for different kind of reasons, they stop using the analytics and they trust more whatever they do than whatever in the system. And it can go to, like, when you try to find the deep dive why it's happening, it can go to different ways. So sometimes the data refresh is not scheduled on the same on the way that they would need it, or we cannot collect the data as frequently that they would need it. So they manually get and collect everything. Or there was two times there was a data issue in the system and they don't trust it anymore, and get the trust back, it's very difficult.
I'm actually very much surprised to hear that the employees' trust to the data in the system and to the system itself might be a very tricky blocker. I never actually thought of it that way. So to my understanding, whenever employees are entering the system, they already expect the data up in there to be truthful, and they do not question whether this data might be corrupted. They just go off and use that. But the way that you put it is there might be some sort of suspicion whether this data that has been implemented and is expected to be used from now on in our brand new fancy system is correct. So is this kind of suspicion a usual thing?
I think it's not about correctness, it's about up to date. And what I encounter that at larger organizations, it's very difficult to have live data. And it's due to that all the systems that they have, all the communication channels are not connected. If we go back to the pricing strategy scenario, I encountered a couple of times when they have a pricing tool, for example. They enter all the pricing for every single commodity somebody buys, right? Mm-hmm. The company needs to buy. And then they negotiate. A lot of the negotiations go through the same tool. Some of the negotiations are going through emails. But whenever you are like negotiating through emails, it goes into a contract and everything. And that doesn't reflect in the tool. So the latest up-to-date information might not be yet in the tool where we are tracking the data. And if you think about that, there is a multi-million dollar or billion dollar company where somebody is responsible for the expenses. In that case, that person's promotion and the income and salary based on what the performance of the negotiations are. So that particular person cannot wait 2 days to get the data into the system and go into the analytics when he or she needs to present the latest information, how he or she performed and what is the expenses, because that can make like millions of dollars of difference into the spreadsheet when you sum up everything of a big corporation.
Okay, but then what if there would be the way to imply, you know, some automated kind of triggering system which would notify the analyst that, hey, in this kind of email, there's the updated information about the deal that you've been looking for. So pay attention here and you can find the updated information here. Would that be the way to pursue with the analysis without interrupting the usual work of the analyst and without using his work resources not to the right means and not in the right direction? So just apply some filtering and triggering system, which would be notifying the analyst that there's an update and let him work with this update without this analyst trying to find where the update is, whether it's in the system or not yet.
Absolutely. I do believe that that is the future. That can be resolved with machine learning. So you can always say, okay, if I put in the letter header, like the title, it's a quote, then please go into one of my systems, analyze the data with some text diagnostics, and take out what was the latest price for this particular part number, for example, and put that into our system. So we do have the technology to do that, but the implementation, because it's so specific and it depends on what kind of system you want to integrate it with, it can take 2 months to implement.
So speaking again about the automation, we actually touched a very interesting topic in terms of how algorithms and the artificial intelligence calculations and approaches might be used in ways of collecting data and synchronizing various data storages. Aside from the one that we've been mentioning, what kind of future usages of AI in terms of enterprise analytics and the further consultancy upon the collected and stored data, do you think is there, and which ones do you think are going to be there in the future? So which ones do you see as additional future technologies?
So what I see right now is more like growth in this particular area, and most of them like recommendation engines, what if analysis, and like chatbots, the IoT solution of how people are handling different things and like measuring every single step that you are doing. That is kind of the first tracking, like the recommendation engine on what kind of business actions you can make out of these. So as I see, like, artificial intelligence itself is not part of any kind of company's life in enterprise analytics. It's more like augmented intelligence in a way that we have all the data, we recommend something, or the engine is recommending something, and there is the leader, the manager, who decides, okay, based on my experience, that might be the best solution for us because of our culture, because of our people, because this might be the one that provides the best outcome for our scenario.
So if the place for AI, the one that you've described, is more of the consultant role rather than additional worker who, you know, is working 24/7, has no breaks and never makes a mistake unless it's programmed wrongly, why it is still important to have human consultants? Because they might be biased, they might be taken, like carried away from different complicated and worthy solutions. There's human factor all the way, but doesn't that actually mean that the algorithmic consultants might be way better than the human consultants?
Yes. So basically, there are two things that, from my perspective, AI cannot provide us in a business world. One is creativity. So there are so many solutions that we can implement, but it always needs a creative mindset of how we are going to implement something. And AI is not able to recommend creative solutions. It can just learn what happened in the past and show what might happen in the future and what actions, what we already computed into it, can provide us different scenarios. On the other hand is problem solutions. Like if there is a problem coming up, it can root cause it. It can, again, give you some kind of recommendations, but it cannot do critical thinking about different kind of scenarios. And that is like this creative thinking and critical thinking that the human mind is capable of. We are not seeing that in any particular programs that we compute right now.
Yeah, that actually brings hope that we're all looking for.
This is how I see it, and I hope for that.
Although I kind of think that in terms of the analytics and the consultancy itself, there's also the division from the, you know, the traditional part things and the newcomers part things. So some of the approaches and techniques which has been in the schedule and in the plan of the analysis from the very beginning, and they're still valid, and companies are still expecting to have those kind of elements and steps along with the new ones. So you know that we always play a little game with our guests. So this is the one that I would like to play with you. I would like to give you those items and ask your opinion. Which ones do you think are the traditional ones? We're going to call them brilliant basics. And the other ones, which are the new waves and the new interests, we're going to call them the exciting extras. You can say both, you can say neither. So the rules are the same. We're going to have 1 minute. Does that sound clear and okay to you?
Yes, let's go.
Okay, first one, data quality management. Who am I?
Whoa, that's the basics. That defines if the users will trust the data or no.
Okay, great. Next one is embedded and collaborative BI, our favorite.
Oh, that's extra. What I see now. So this is my life, basically. So most of the business people who wants to make a decision, they want the data that they interested in that particular moment. And BI solutions usually are just giving you the possibility to find that data.
The one that we've been talking about, AI.
That's an exciting extra for now.
Ooh.
But I think in the future it will be a basics.
Okay, let's go further. Strategic staffing and talent search. That means in terms of employees.
Oh, that's basic. That is one of the struggles, I think, to the companies to find the right talent. Whoever we are hiring, we are not hiring based on their resume only, but based on the position, what we want to be fulfilled.
Okay, great. That's it. Thank you. Woohoo! In the conclusion, imagine you've traveled the time machine to, I don't know, like 10 years or 20 years, even better. What kind of world would you like to see in terms of something that is lacking right now? I mean, technology-wise, what kind of implementations that are now still developing would you want to see already up and going in those terms? And is there something you're a little bit concerned about having?
So what I like to see, something like the Tesla factory has. There are so minimal human effort, everything like machines that are working. So whatever can be done by machines, let's use them and let's enjoy our lives.
That sounds like a very bright future for us. I would very much like to thank you for this amazing episode and sharing your experience, stories, and expertise.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Bye. This has been another episode of L'Amazing Data Podcast. My name is Ksenia. Stay tuned for more awesome stories about data and have a great day.